welcome to the Healthy Life Redesign Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kimberly O'Brien. As a naturopathic doctor, I help you to transform your health and amplify your energy with nutrition, natural medicine, and neuroscience. Each week, I share life-changing health habits and mindset shifts to help you break through the struggle and become the person you know you are meant to be. Are you ready to let your health and happiness come naturally? It's time to own your health and live a life you love. Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 9 of the Healthy Life Redesign Podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking to you all about detoxification. So I'm going to be teaching you how I guide my patients to do a spring cleanse, and it's probably a lot more straightforward and a lot more enjoyable than you might think. So often when people think about doing a spring cleanse or they hear the word detoxification, they get this vision in their mind of water fasting or juice fasting or having really unpleasant digestive symptoms as you're taking all of these detox teas. And you will probably be happy to know that none of those approaches are what I suggest as part of a spring cleanse. So I'm going to be walking you through 8 guidelines that I have my patients follow when we're giving their body some support to help to clear things through and get their bodies really ready and feeling amazing for summer. So doing a spring cleanse is a really amazing way to boost your energy, to improve your digestion, to clear up your skin, and often to lose a few pounds that you may have found that you've put on over the winter. And whenever we look at doing any kind of weight loss protocol, it's so important that we support your liver. And I'm going to be explaining why that is. And again, that feeds into all of the guidelines that I'll be sharing. But before I dive into my suggested guidelines and a specific protocol in regards to detoxification, first and foremost, I want to talk about why this is something that's important and why it's something that we should even be doing. Because inevitably, when I talk to a lot of patients about this, or if I'm giving a seminar and I bring up the term detoxification to my audience, I almost always get the question, why is this something that we need to do? Aren't our bodies naturally equipped to be able to break down hormones and chemicals and toxins from the environment? And why would I need to do any kind of protocol to make that happen? And the answer to that is yes, our bodies are fabulously designed to be able to break down hormones and chemicals and toxins when all of those things are coming in within a reasonable level of exposure. But the problem is that over the last 70 to 100 years, there has been a dramatic increase in the amount of chemicals in our environment. And in the last 70 years alone, the number of chemicals in use in the United States has increased by 16 times, which means that there's now over 80,000 different chemicals in use in industry that are coming into our homes, maybe on furniture, or coming in via the foods that we're eating as pesticides, or even that are in our cosmetics or our drinking water. So our body has a much higher load of which it has to deal with in regards to these chemicals. And so if we don't give our bodies a break from this massive exposure to all of these different chemicals, and if we're not supporting it to be able to break everything down, then we start to run into issues. And one of the problems is that a lot of these chemicals are what are considered to be endocrine disrupting chemicals, which means that they can influence and affect our body's own hormonal system. And so this might mean that they are acting similar to certain hormones in our body. This can often be the case for estrogen. So a lot of the chemicals in our environment act similar to estrogen. So this is things like phthalates and BPA and parabens. And so these chemicals, when we're exposed to them, often through plastics or the ingredients in many of our cosmetics and cleaning products, these chemicals act like estrogen in our bodies, and they can bind to receptors and activate them and cause these hormonal effects. But our body's not signaling for this to happen. So this is a chemical from outside of our bodies coming in and having these hormonal influences in our bodies. And so this can lead to a host of different symptoms. Specifically in women, it can lead to more estrogen dominant types of symptoms. So bloating and breast tenderness, headaches and irritability, aggravation of PMS, and heavy periods. And so there can be a whole host of different symptoms that come into play because of these types of chemical exposures and the impact that they have on our hormone systems. Excess estrogen can affect men as well, as it's not only a female hormone. And excess estrogen or estrogen activity in men can affect sex drive, it can cause weight gain, and it can lead to things like depression. So there's a number of symptoms, again, both in males and females, that can be affected by too much exposure to these kinds of chemicals, especially if our livers are not adequately breaking them down. Phthalates are another kind of chemical that can be an issue, and phthalates are often used to be able to soften and mold plastics into various shapes, or they're used in soaps and shampoos and cosmetics to be able to disperse scent throughout the product. And phthalates specifically have been shown to interfere with testosterone function, whereas other chemicals like PCBs or PBDEs, which stand for polychlorinated biphenyls or polychlorinated biphenyl diethyl ethers, can disrupt thyroid function. And now these also, again, are chemicals that we're exposed to often on a day-to-day basis. So PCBs have been banned since the 1970s, but they still persist in our water supply and environmentally. And when tested, people are often shown to still have PCBs within our bodies, despite the fact that they're no longer actively being used. The polybrominated diphenyl ethers, or the PBDEs, are in flame retardants. And so a lot of people don't know this, but most of our furniture and our mattresses and our carpeting and rugs are all sprayed with flame retardants. And studies have shown that this can impair our thyroid function and that there's issues with neurodevelopment, so with brain development in young children or developing fetuses. So there's a number of concerns, and I don't want to dive into all of these details because that would be an episode in and of itself. But the important takeaway here is that the reason why detoxification is so important for us is because our exposure to these chemicals, including things like pesticides on our foods, which I haven't even mentioned yet, all lead to this increased load or this increased stress on our bodies and our liver. And we need to be able to support it to clear these chemicals out of our system. Because if we don't, most of these chemicals are fat soluble, which means that they dissolve and get stored into our fat cells. And what occurs is something called bioaccumulation, meaning that our bodies keep concentrating these chemicals into our fat cells, and they just become more and more toxic. Because if our body is not able to adequately break down and excrete these chemicals, then they have to be put somewhere, and our fat somewhat sequesters or keeps these chemicals separate from our more vital organs and things from that perspective. And so by supporting our livers on a regular basis, again, I like to look at this every spring, then we are able to prevent or slow down at least this bioaccumulation of these chemicals. And therefore, we end up protecting our health for the long term. So by decreasing the chemical accumulation in our bodies, we can decrease our risk factors for things like these estrogen-dependent cancers that studies are starting to show may be linked to things like exposure to these endocrine-disrupting chemicals. And so why spring? Why is spring the best time for us to focus on detoxification? It's really a time of cleansing and renewal. And so as I record this episode, it's the beginning of May, and as I look out my window, there is all sorts of new life outside. Flowers are coming into bloom, the leaves are budding, and people are planting their gardens. And so it's really this time of growth and change and regeneration. And as we come out of the colder months in Canada, we can have pretty long cold winters. And often people have been less active. We might be going more to these comfort foods and not having as many vegetables. But come spring, we start to get into this time of year when green veggies and all of the amazing foods that we can incorporate to help our bodies with detoxification become really plentiful. I always share that we should not wait for symptoms to occur for us to feel the need to do a spring cleanse. However, there are a few symptoms that can specifically point to the fact that detoxification support is specifically what your body needs. And so some of these symptoms that are most pronounced can be things like multiple chemical sensitivity. So basically, this means that you find that you have sensitivities or allergies to different chemicals in the environment. And now, this can be things like gasoline or perfumes. So if you are somebody who, when you're surrounded by scents, you find that you get these allergic symptoms, maybe your sinuses flare up, or you get a headache, or you feel really nauseous, then that can point to the fact that your body is having trouble breaking these things down and that you might already have a fairly high load of these in your body. Another symptom can be fatigue. Fatigue can, of course, be caused by a number of different concerns, but increased toxic load in your body is always something that I have in mind. And that's one of the main causes that I talk about in my free guide, Fatigued to Fabulous, that walks you through a quiz that helps you to identify and assess what might be at the root cause of your own low energy. And so that tends to be one of the five main categories that I see coming up for people who experience fatigue. And sometimes it's one that's overlapping with other concerns, maybe hormone imbalances. And so if you want to dive into that specifically a little bit deeper, just head to the show notes page for this episode at healthylifereDesign.com/9, and you can grab that guide and take a look at that in more detail. Headaches, irritability, bloating, or digestive upset. These are also symptoms that may occur if your body needs support with detoxification. And basically, when we look at your body's detoxification organs, the main two systems involved are your liver and your kidneys. So your liver is the main organ that is breaking down all of these different chemicals or hormones or toxins coming in from the environment. And then your kidneys are the other organ that are primarily involved in excreting more water-soluble toxins. Skin conditions like acne or eczema can also be really important signs from your body that it needs support with detoxification. And the reason for this is because your skin is one of the body's main detoxification organs. And so first and foremost, your body should be processing toxins and chemicals and hormones in the liver and the kidneys, and the digestive tract should be what are excreting these byproducts of this metabolic breakdown. But if those systems are not keeping up, your body is going to try to still be pushing things out, and it's going to do that through your skin. So if you find that you have a lot of skin issues, looking at the health of the liver and the level of overall chemical buildup and hormones in your body can be really, really important and really helpful to help to clear things up. So as we start talking about the specific guidelines that you can follow in order to help your body with detox, I first want to say that supporting your body with detox is something that we should be doing on a daily basis. So we shouldn't be loading it with toxins year round, except for the 2 weeks that we decide that we're going to focus on our health and do these practices. All of these things that I'm going to share are strategies that you can incorporate on a day-to-day basis to help to support your body. But for 2 weeks of the year, so if you choose 2 weeks, ideally this spring, to be able to really zone in and focus on really supporting your health and doing all of these things that I suggest to the absolute best of your ability and putting a lot of intention in behind it, then that is going to help us get in for that deeper cleanse. But then try to keep up as many of the practices as you can going forward. And so the more that we are able to incorporate these guidelines that I'm going to share on a day-to-day basis beyond the time the cleanse is over, the better our health is going to be and the better we're going to feel. So now that we've talked about the importance of detoxification and reviewed exactly why this is something that you should care about and how it can be affecting your health, I hope that you're excited to try out doing a spring cleanse yourself. And I think that what you'll find with the guidelines that I'm about to share as to how I structure doing a spring cleanse, that you won't find this intimidating and that you'll find that it's really an approachable thing to incorporate into your lifestyle. And a lot of my patients find that they actually really enjoy this process of focusing on their health and zoning in on their nutrition and just really giving your body that time. 2 weeks is what I typically suggest for us to just really focus on you and get you feeling good going into the summer. Of course, I need to remind you before we go through these specific guidelines that this episode is for educational purposes only, and you should not use this as a substitute for the advice from your own naturopathic doctor or physician. So I'm going to outline the 8 guidelines that I encourage you to follow as part of your spring cleanse, and then I'm going to loop back and give you more details on each so that you feel like you've got a fairly specific understanding of the kind of plan that you can work on for yourself to really support your health this spring. Number 1 is to enjoy a whole foods diet that is rich in nutrients needed for detoxification. Number 2 is that we want to avoid inflammatory foods as well as common food triggers or food sensitivities. Number 3 is for the period of the cleanse, you'll want to avoid alcohol, caffeine, and added sugars. Number 4 is that you also want to decrease environmental exposure to these chemicals and toxins that we're trying to help your body to eliminate. Number 5 is to increase your intake of fiber-rich foods to help with excretion of these chemicals. Number 6 is to focus on drinking plenty of purified water. Number 7 is to make sure that you're sweating daily. And number 8 is making sure you get 8 hours of good quality sleep each night. So you'll notice that nowhere in that list did I say anything about juice cleansing or fasting or taking laxative teas. This is a really whole foods-based, healthy lifestyle-based approach to doing a spring cleanse. So really what we're doing and what we're focused on is cleaning up the diet to ensure that your body is getting all of the nutrients that it needs to be able to make liver enzymes and to be able to break everything down while avoiding additional sources of exposure while we're going through this process. And it's really all things that are going to support your body with elimination from a gentle standpoint, which is often way more effective than doing all of these different things that we think may sound more intense, but actually end up pushing our bodies too hard and aggravating our symptoms and often not actually getting the desired result. So a really good example of this is doing a juice cleanse. I'm not a fan of people doing juice cleanses because through a juice cleanse, you do get a lot of the nutrients that your body needs to support liver function, but you don't get any of the fiber that your body needs to be able to excrete all of the chemicals that your liver has metabolized and released into the digestive tract where they should be binding with fiber to be able to be removed. But what happens when you juice veggies and fruits is that all of the fiber is removed before you ingest it. And therefore, when your liver is releasing all of these processed chemicals into the digestive tract where it expects to meet fiber to be able to release them from your body, that's not there. And what happens instead is a lot of the processed chemicals simply get reabsorbed by your digestive tract back into circulation. And so those symptoms that people describe when they're going through a cleanse of having headaches and feeling really irritable and moody and tired and all of these digestive symptoms, those can be normal to a degree for the first few days of even a whole foods-based cleanse protocol, but they should not be these drastic symptoms that we're experiencing. And they should not be going on for the full time that you're doing a cleanse. It's normal for your body to have a few symptoms as we withdraw some of the foods and things like caffeine and alcohol that we might have a reliance upon for the first few days. And then thereafter, you should be feeling good. The best part about doing a cleanse is that people typically feel really good by the end of that first week. And so if you've done a cleanse or a detox in the past and you find that you've experienced a lot of these symptoms, then there's probably an imbalance going on there. There can also be an issue with taking detox formulas that are bought at a health food store without really understanding what they're doing in your body and how they're supporting that liver metabolism, because there are two phases to liver detoxification, and some formulas have more support on phase one, which actually makes chemicals more reactive before they're broken down by phase two reactions to make them more excretable by the body. And so if you take a formula that isn't professionally designed and put together specifically for you in your health that predominantly supports phase one, then you can end up with these symptoms because we're not supporting balanced liver metabolism and we can actually be aggravating the problem for people again. So if you follow the guidelines that I'm laying out here, you should not have those concerns because this is, again, a very whole foods, healthy, moderated approach to any kind of detoxification plan. And if you do plan to incorporate any herbs or specific detox formulas, that is definitely when I suggest that you talk to a naturopathic doctor or consult with someone who's got a lot of education in that regard, who can properly guide you to incorporate the best products for you. So let's go back to these specific guidelines. So the first thing to focus on when you are doing a cleanse is first and foremost to focus on the quality of the food that you are bringing into your body. So we want you to be eating a really nutrient-dense diet that is going to provide all of the vitamins and minerals and antioxidants that your body needs to be able to support liver health and to be able to break down all of these chemicals. And vegetables specifically are one of the most important foods that our bodies need to be able to support these detoxification enzymes in our liver. So detoxification enzymes are what is breaking down all of these different chemicals. And basically what they are proteins that help to accelerate these chemical reactions. And so there's things that our bodies get from foods, specific nutrients that our bodies get from foods, that enables our liver to build these enzymes. Some of the most important vegetables specifically to focus on are what's called cruciferous vegetables. And now these are veggies like cauliflower and kale, Brussels sprouts, mustard greens, rutabagas, and turnips. The list is pretty long as far as what falls into this category, but what all of these veggies contain is something called glucosinolates and other chemicals like indole-3-carbinol and sulforaphane, and all of these different nutrients help to support our liver to break down these different chemicals, specifically those that are acting like or mimicking estrogen in our body. Another group of vegetables that are really important to incorporate into your diet during a cleanse are sulfur-containing vegetables. And so these include things like garlic and onions. And the reason why sulfur is so important is because it's required to produce our body's main detoxification enzyme called glutathione. So glutathione is one of the most important compounds in our bodies for liver health. And it also acts as the body's main antioxidant. And what happens when glutathione is used to break down chemicals is that it is excreted along with those chemicals. So our bodies need to be constantly regenerating our levels of glutathione. And so we need to make sure that nutritionally we are getting those building blocks that it uses to build it again. Our bodies also need an amino acid called cysteine to make this glutathione, and it's found mostly in high protein foods. So animal sources like free-range poultry, eggs, fish, these are all really great sources. Plant sources can include things, again, like those garlic and onions, as well as broccoli and Brussels sprouts and a few other veggies. And so this is, again, why really consuming a colorful diet during your cleanse is so important. So many of the nutrients that we need are going to come from fruits and vegetables. Number two was to avoid inflammatory foods as well as common food sensitivities. And now episodes 4 and 5 of this podcast dive in and talk all about what exactly food sensitivities are, as well as the most common food triggers and how you can identify specifically whether that is an issue for you in your own health. But the important thing to point out is that the symptoms of food sensitivities are very similar to the symptoms that you might experience if your body needs support with detoxification. So it's things like that fatigue and bloating and irritability, headaches, skin concerns like the acne or eczema, and digestive issues. All of these symptoms can also be caused by food sensitivities, which are a delayed immune reaction to foods. So check out episodes 4 and 5. I also have free ebooks on my website, Healthy Life Redesign, about food sensitivities specifically. So that is also another resource for you. But basically, the way that I structure the diet is to follow more of an anti-inflammatory kind of diet. And so an anti-inflammatory diet will pull out dairy and grains, especially gluten-containing grains, soy products and corn, nightshade vegetables. And again, I talk all about that in episode 4 as to specifically how that can affect your health. But those are things like tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, and eggplant. And then, of course, we're also avoiding processed and packaged foods. So if you can avoid as much as possible anything that is coming in any kind of package that has a list of ingredients that's over about 3 or 4 ingredients long, that is what's going to set you up for the most success. Instead of having canned soup, make a nice batch of homemade soup and make sure that it's full of all of those veggies that I just described in step 1 to help to support your liver function. Instead of having store-bought salad dressings, try making your own with oil and vinegar and adding in some different herbs and spices. Basically, the goal through this should be that when you look at your plate or you look at your pantry and look at the ingredients that you have, that you can tell that those products were grown by a farmer or that you can see what the source of that food was. So the less they've been processed, the better. The third guideline was that we want to avoid alcohol and caffeine throughout this process. So, of course, that one's probably pretty intuitive. Those are just additional stressors on your liver. And I find a lot of people can struggle emotionally to let these things go. But keep in mind, it's for a short period of time. I know that people in my practice, it's especially that morning cup of coffee that they seem to just want to cling on to so badly. But I can tell you that once you are a few days in to this process, especially by the time you're a week in, that you'll probably find that your energy is improved without it. And there's plenty of other things that you can have in its place. I'm going to have a whole episode coming up soon where we are going to talk about alternatives to coffee. I am not anti-coffee. I enjoy my coffee myself, but it can be a really good break for our system to be able to shift away from this and to focus on other beverages that can help to support the liver, like herbal teas or even just good old water. Guideline number 4 is that it's important that we decrease your environmental exposures to these chemicals that we're trying to help your liver to be able to better process. And again, this could be an entire episode in and of itself, and it probably will be in the future. But if you're going to focus on one thing, one new thing for the sake of this cleanse, just try and purchase organic as much as you can for that period of time. So fruits and vegetables that haven't been sprayed with pesticides, because as we're working on supporting your liver to help clear these out, we don't want to be bringing them back in at the same time. For additional information on minimizing toxin and chemical exposure in your lifestyle and home, I suggest that you go to the Environmental Working Group website, which you can get to by going to ewg.org, and they have tons of amazing information there for you. Guideline number 5 is that we want to increase your intake of fiber-rich foods. So again, as I had mentioned, this is so important because it helps to excrete those chemicals that our liver has processed via our digestive tract. And when you're doing this kind of protocol and you're avoiding these more processed, refined foods and incorporating all of these healthy foods like the fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds, this tends to be a really easy process, and you'll find that you're getting a lot more fiber intake just because of the dietary changes that you're making. Fiber-rich foods include things like veggies and fruits, nuts and seeds. For example, in chia seeds, 1 tablespoon of chia seeds provides 5 grams of fiber. And during this cleanse, I would say for a guideline standpoint, you want to get at least 30 grams of fiber into your diet per day. Ideally, 40 to 50 for the purposes of detoxification is going to be ideal. But again, as you pay attention to the fiber content of your foods, I think that through these changes, you'll find that that's pretty easy. So as you increase your fiber intake, this brings us to guideline number 6, which is that you should also increase your water intake. So with more fiber, we need more water to make sure that we draw that fiber through the digestive tract and make sure that everything is all excreted. And getting enough water intake is also going to help your body to clear any metabolized toxins and chemicals through your kidneys and to release everything through urine. How much you should drink really varies on an individual basis, but for most people, I find that they do best with over 2 to 3 liters of water per day. Again, your water source can be a source of all of these chemicals that we are trying to cleanse your body from. And so as we're trying to minimize exposure to these environmental chemicals, making sure that you're drinking filtered water is a way that you can keep minimizing that ongoing exposure. As you're drinking more water, that is setting us up for you to incorporate guideline number 7, which is to make sure that you're sweating daily. So you want to keep your fluids up, but then you also want to increase that detoxification through your skin via sweating. And so sweating is such an amazing practice to support our bodies with cleansing. And it's one that's often forgotten about. And so if you can sweat every day, that is going to be hugely important as far as accelerating this process and getting you feel as good as possible as fast as you can. And ways that you can get your body sweating is by exercising, which is really amazing because you're getting your circulation going, you're getting blood flowing through your muscles and into those fat cells where it can help to mobilize and release those chemicals that have been stored away. And as you sweat, then it's pulling anything that's being released out through your pores and out through your skin. Saunas are also a really great way to get that sweating going. So maybe you do a little bit of each. Maybe if you can work out to the point that you get a good sweat on for a half hour, maybe 4 days per week. And then the other few days, if you can get into a sauna or a hot bath, and it's going to open your pores and stimulate that release through your skin. Just remember to rinse off as soon as you are done with sweating, because since our whole goal is to stimulate detoxification through the skin, we want to make sure that you are clearing that off the skin so you don't get that irritation. Last but not least, guideline number 8 is that we need to make sure that you are getting good quality sleep and that you're getting enough sleep. So I suggest 8 hours. That is how most people do best. And basically, the reason for this, even though sleep might not seem at all linked to detoxification, it's during sleep that our body really kicks into more of that detoxification mode. We're not eating, we're not having more food coming in that our livers need to process. So our bodies can go into cleaning mode, basically. And it's at that time that our liver can be quite active. And it's in the night that our bodies repair and replenish themselves. So you need to make sure that you are getting enough sleep so that our body is going into that maintenance and repair mode and that you're able to get the rest and replenishment that you need through this process. So there we have it. Those are the 8 guidelines that I practice myself every spring and that I do as much as possible on an ongoing basis. Because again, as you can see going through these suggestions, they are all things that would be very supportive to your health on a day-to-day basis. If you would like a specific meal plan that walks you through everything that you need to do from a dietary standpoint, what you should eat, what recipes to follow, which ingredients to avoid, you can go through my online program. And that program is called the Elimination Diet Meal Plan. And I designed that program specifically to help people to identify their food sensitivities. But during the initial phase of the program, it is the exact diet that I use for my patients and for myself several times a year to support detoxification. So it's an incredibly nutrient dense diet with delicious food, a lot of which people end up incorporating into their diet on a day-to-day basis, even beyond the time that they've finished the cleanse. So if you would like to look at that in more detail, you can go to eliminationdietmealplan.com and get the comprehensive plan. As a reminder, on the show notes page, you can grab my free guide, Fatigued to Fabulous, which is going to walk you through a quiz that will help you to identify the underlying cause of the low energy that you may be experiencing. I also have a really big giveaway going on right now, and the draw is coming up really soon. It's May 30th, and that day I will be drawing for one of several really big prizes, many of which are valued over $500 each. And so that includes things like food sensitivity testing, hormone testing, and I am also giving away a few lifetime memberships to the Elimination Diet Meal Plan online program. So head on over to the show notes page at healthylifereedesign.com/9 and make sure to get your name in that draw. I look forward to seeing you guys back here again next week when I will be sharing more advice, tools, and inspiration to help you own your health and live a life you love. Bye for now.